follow the messages on screen, the wooden added eventual navigation becomes available. This station will now see you on the
Welcome to the Casual Preppers Podcast. Here are your hosts, Cam and Kobe.
Welcome to the Casual Preppers Podcast, the only place for prepping, survival, and entertainment. We are your hosts, Cameron and Kobe, and we are ready to bring survival goodness direct to your ear holes.
A little reflux coming
Jeez, man.
Up into the mic.
Been a million years since we've been doing this, it feels like.
It really has been a long time.
Welcome back to the,
studio. Welcome back to the life.
I know, man.
And socializing and... Kobe's been, I don't know what he's been doing.
I've been laying on the couch, man.
Holding his groin.
Yeah. Laying on the couch, holding my groin and crying for like a week.
Crying hurts too.
Yeah, it does. Laughing, crying, sneezing, burping. It all hurts so bad. But I'm here.
Well, it's good to have you back.
Yeah, it's good to be back.
I've been wanting to do this podcast since I can't even remember when.
Since you can't remember when. Cameron, what are we doing today? What is on the docket?
Well, I figure since it's 2019, the start of a year, everybody's making goals.
Yeah.
Why don't we talk about why to be a prepper, how to be a prepper, what is a prepper, everything prepper.
So if you're starting out and you want to become a prepper.
We just want to be.
What are the things you need to know and what are the things you need to do?
All the key things about being a prepper, like just the starting points.
Yeah.
We're going to touch on a lot of the little things.
Yeah, we're going to touch lots of things, but we're not really going to delve into a lot.
No.
Mostly just kind of like an
That's what all the other podcasts are for.
Yeah, exactly.
But yeah, if maybe you're sharing this with
a friend.
Maybe you're sitting down with your family at night, turn on the radio.
Family home evening.
And this is going to be, you guys are going to all learn about preppers.
Yeah, exactly.
Kids, you need to learn.
We're also going to review the latest battle box, right? We got one of those.
Yeah.
And then we also have a cool product, Mission Darkness Faraday bag.
Ooh, it is pretty cool.
I'm excited about that.
Mm-hmm.
But before we get into any of that, guys, today's podcast is brought to you, as always, by TacPack, the only monthly tactical subscription box with useful professional-grade stuff inside. Get 10% off your first TacPack with our code CASUALPREPPERS at TacPack.com and join the thousands of satisfied subscribers today. That's 10% off with code CASUALPREPPERS at TacPack.com. Cameron's wearing the TacPack shirt.
I'm wearing a TacPack shirt right now.
Looking sexy, man. That's good. Hey, Cameron, a film just released yesterday.
I did.
And it's kind of cool, right?
It is really cool.
Yeah. So this is a film from Wild Air Films, and this is actually the place where I work in my day job. And it's called The Rookie. And what's it about?
It's about a low-life 36-year-old male.
Yeah.
It's about me.
Uh-huh.
And I don't have any big game hunting experience.
You don't at all, do you?
None.
No.
Zero. And first, you know, we learned just all that entails being a hunter. Because I think there's a lot of bad, stigma with people that don't understand it.
Yep.
And, you know, I grew up rural, and so I never had a problem with it, but I didn't understand it.
You never done
and
it.
And I have a mom that was like, hunters killing everything and ruining the world. And and this is kind of what the film was about. It was just like how to go about doing it and just my feelings. And I mean it was an awesome experience. I think it kind of portrayed that really well.
Yeah,
you can see Kobe's beautiful cinematography.
Yeah. So if you guys want to check it out, we actually have it as our like Instagram link right now. We have it all over our Facebook and all that kind of stuff. But you can go to Wild Air Films on YouTube and go check it out. But you'll see Cam go through his first big game hunt, and it's pretty fun to kind of see.
It's really, it was awesome.
You know, kind of what goes into that and how
it
all happened.
Yeah. And then I think total the film's like 15, and then it has like 5 minutes of a blooper reel.
There's some blooper stuff on it.
But it's awesome. Like, I think Kobe did an amazing job. I was proud of it.
Yeah, I was proud of it, too. It's really fun. So please go check that out. I think, actually, the next full episode that we do, we're going to talk about that film. We're going to talk about hunting.
Yeah.
Your experience.
That's a huge part of being a survivalist and a prepper is knowing how to hunt and how to... A lot of people think they can do that, just go out and kill animals and feed their family. No.
It's not easy.
I don't even want to rely on it.
No, not at all.
Honestly.
No.
And I don't have the experience, even a, like, somebody that has tons of years of hunting experience, they know that it's not going to be that easy.
Exactly. So anyway. So look for that. That's going to come soon. But let's move on.
Listener reviews starts now.
Why don't you go ahead and take this, King?
I got it. Let me get my notes organized.
Sure, sure. So listener reviews.
Listener reviews. Trump voice. I can't do it. I tried it.
Yeah. You sounded like you were from Brooklyn.
I couldn't do
it.
I
don't know how that works, but...
I have the greatest countermeasures. I don't know how to do it. Five stars. Yeah. Such a great podcast. I have never laughed so hard and felt so educated since Hillary ran for office. Hmm. Side note, listen to Feels Like Rain by Buddy Guy and replace the words rain in the song to Earthquake of Cain. I'll have to try that.
I'm going to have to go try that too.
This is GG Games Dean via Apple Podcast. Thank you for the five star.
Yeah, appreciate that, guys. If you want to be a part of this portion of the podcast, go to iTunes, go to Facebook, go to the Kindle book on Amazon, leave us a five star review, and make it awesome.
It's a mad, mad world.
Well,
you go ahead.
I'm going to go ahead. This one is pretty cool. Well, not cool, but it's crazy. It's
we'll
mad.
Find it. We'll see.
So, Russia, Cameron, they have a brand new weapon, and it freaks me out.
Why'd that listener review pop into the weird place? It's like right in the middle of...
I don't know. It looks fine on mine.
Really?
Yeah. So, not on mine. So Russia, let me read you this. Russia's new strategic weapon has rendered any missile defenses useless at a small fraction of their cost, official says Thursday. The Avangard hypersonic glide vehicle flies 27 times faster than the speed of sound, making it impossible to intercept, Deputy Prime Minister Yuri Borisov told Russian state television. The new weapon essentially makes missile defenses useless. What do you think about that, Cameron?
To be honest, with Russia...
You don't know.
I don't.
Yeah, you don't know.
I mean, somebody could debunk this pretty soon.
They could, but they did a test.
What about their robot army? Is that still coming?
Yeah. Just a bunch of dudes dressed up like Johnny Five.
We did not think anyone was taking us serious.
Borisov spoke a day after Russian President Vladimir Putin oversaw what he described as the conclusive successful test of the Avangard and hailed it as a reliable guarantee of Russia's security for decades to come. Putin said the Avangard will enter service with the Russian strategic missile forces next year.
Wow.
So, I don't know.
So they're basically shielded and they can do whatever they want.
Yeah. Yeah.
And it's kind of scary, though.
Yeah, it is a little bit scary. That's all I got.
Well, I guess it goes along with mine.
Oh, does it?
Yeah.
Cool.
So the United States military services, the Army, after years of fighting insurgencies, they're now starting to train outside of that for a major war. So, what? Yeah. So they've always been kind of focused on, you know, like Afghanistan and all that. But yeah. Now they're actually focusing the training on, they say in here, training soldiers how to respond to artillery barrages and attacks from enemy fighter bombers,
what?
Attacks on the country. So that's kind of scary that the Army's kind of shifted and like,
yeah.
We have some threats that we probably should protect our own country.
Wow.
Instead of intervening and helping everybody.
Well, it's probably good.
It is good. I'm not.
You know, a little bit less intervention
scared.
Probably going to be okay for us.
Right. So, yeah, but it's been 17 years that they've been training and fighting for counterinsurgencies.
Mm-hmm.
And now they're shifting their gaze to national defense strategy.
Wow. Cool.
So pretty interesting.
That is interesting.
And now with Russia being able to block everything we throw at them,
yeah,
no wonder they're like, oh, crap.
Vladimir. Well, thank you, Cameron.
Yeah.
So today's podcast, this is, it might seem a little bit like a rehash, but it's not really, because we've kind of done like, you know, as a beginner prepper, what to do, you know, beginning prepper tips.
I don't feel
tips,
like this is a rehash.
Because
if it is, shut up.
I think, yeah, just like Cam said, this is the beginning of the new year. There's a lot of people that are going to have sort of resolutions like, oh, this year I'm going to become a prepper.
Yeah.
You know, I'm going to stay survived this year and I'm going to do the things I need to do. So this is kind of an episode to kind of help you with a big overview of some of the things you might want to know and do and, see and be and all that kind of stuff.
Yeah.
So why don't you kind of take it away, Cameron?
Okay, I'll take it away.
Okay.
But yeah, sometimes I just wonder if people are like, more our prepper, and they're going to scroll and they're going to see this episode and be like, becoming a prepper, what's that?
Yeah. Uh-huh.
So anyway, what is a prepper? So survivalism is kind of, it falls into that category mm-hmm. of a people or a mindset. I don't know.
Yeah.
It's sort of an American movement of survivalists or preppers who actively prepare for emergencies or social political disruptions, either locally or globally or both, which is exactly what we do.
Exactly. Yeah.
Right.
Yeah.
So there's a lot of different types of preppers. You know, they kind of, a lot of websites will break down what there's multiple different types of people, and there's the extreme ones. We've seen doomsday preppers and all that crap.
Yeah.
Like,
I mean, and
over the top is usually what.
Yeah.
Is preppers are associated with
in the media,
like in the media, in the media,
for sure.
Exactly.
And you know, I think doing what we do, we interact with a lot of different preppers and we see like the whole gamut.
We do, totally.
We see like from one end to the other, and we talk to them almost every day, mostly online.
Either piss them off or
exactly.
We make really good friends with them.
Uh huh.
So breaking it down into some of the common ones, just real quick, a lot of websites had this, a lot of different forums based on preppers. So I thought it was kind of interesting. There's the newbie prepper, the one that wants to get into prepping, and doesn't really know much about anything. They're kind of a scary person to add to your group.
But you know what? This is.
But they're the open, like the clean bottle.
Yeah. So, but this is the type of people I like to talk to.
I do too.
Me too. Like I like to like address on the podcast those type of people because I remember like kind of being there and being like, well, what do I do?
Yeah, exactly.
And like,
we were talking
what are the
like
things
that.
I need to be doing? And like, is there somebody I can talk to that's not going to be a dick, you know, that's going to like help me? And this is kind of what this podcast is about. If you're a newbie, for sure, listen to this because, you know, you'll find out, you know, Cam and I, we don't give a crap if you're a newbie or how you do what you do. We're just trying to give advice and help.
Yeah.
You know
and we're
mean?
By no means extremists.
No.
You know, we're just like. It's ridiculous to have a bug out vehicle, but it's awesome.
It's so awesome. Yeah.
So, and then you've got your homestead preppers. And I this is kind of where Kobe and I really came from, honestly.
Because
it's like our families grew up in a community of being prepared for just basic things. Like Kobe will talk about that, just like your more common disasters that you need to be prepared for. But having food storage, having water, and then just your basic stuff. This is kind of the homestead. They want to protect. What's theirs, they want to be safe at their home. They don't have any of that extreme stuff outside.
But that could also be, I mean, I think that probably has two meanings. Then there's also like the people that are homesteaders that like have like, you know, 20 acres, they're farming.
Even better.
They're ranching.
Right.
They have,
and I came
from
a dairy farm.
Exactly.
And it's kind of that.
So, yeah. So
like
I think that could be. Kind of.
But yeah, so the homestead prepper is kind of probably a more common type of prepper. And then there's the commander prepper. This is the one that's like, you know, either a veteran or wants to be, you know, a military, just wears those, like all the stuff that he's got from like the military surplus and is just super extreme about it. It's like, you're an idiot. If you guys saw, was American Blackout?
Yeah.
The one guy that's like, he's just hardcore.
Yeah.
Takes his family immediately upon any sign of crisis and he has this amazing facility. Like, they have awesome stuff and they're very knowledgeable, but they're kind of dicks.
Sometimes they are. Yes. So,
not always, but
so,
yeah.
So, yeah, the commander prepper, there could be two types. There could be the kind that are just, they're prepped. They're ready to go. They have all their stuff and they're not douchebags.
Right.
But there are a lot of them, especially online and in like Facebook groups and in forums, that like will jump all over anybody who says, the wrong caliber of rifle
it's
to use.
It's completely outside of their,
and I've
their vision of.
And
what,
I've experienced these people a lot.
Yeah, and I think you find them a lot, and that's what kind of turns a lot of people off from being a prepper.
Yeah. And these types of people are a lot of the reason why we have this podcast because you know
we didn't want to be that.
We didn't want to be that type of person.
And
we wanted
not,
a place
hopefully.
For people to come. And to express any sort of ideas about prepping and not get jumped all over and say, hey, you're a dumbass, you're an idiot, can't do that, can't store water that
you
way.
You ain't going to survive out there with that backpack.
Yeah.
This
so
is garbage.
It's just stupid. You know, what you have is what you have, and let's all try and help each other.
Exactly.
So.
Yeah. They're totally the ones that are turned off by our podcast.
Like, oh, yeah, absolutely.
You don't know what you're doing or what you're talking about.
Oh, yeah, you can go through
you're
and
gonna last.
Read YouTube comments. You can.
We've
read.
Had plenty of them.
Yeah.
Kobe's had it out with a few. It's pretty
fun.
Funny. He just likes to poke at them. We have a lot of these in our state. The gun prepper.
Oh yeah,
like Kobe's dad's kind of a little bit of a gun prepper.
Yeah,
he's more than that. But these are the ones that have like a full-on arsenal. You know, mm-hmm. they've got multiple AR-15s, like 50 pistols. They have rifles and
rocket launchers.
Seriously, they have everything. And they consider themselves a prepper, but they've just like fully focused on like attack and offense.
And there's nothing wrong with what they're doing. No, I think that's fantastic. But sometimes
I would love to have one.
Sometimes they get a little, you know, tunnel vision on prepping.
Yeah.
It's like, it's all about ammo, which is all about guns. Yeah. It's all about, you know, training with those guns. Like, that's a great aspect of prepping, but that's really, when it comes down to it, going to be a very small part of what you do.
Exactly.
You know what I mean? And so,
and the ammo could be used to barter and everything too. Sure. But yeah, no, they're like the ones that are like, oh, they've restocked the 22 ammo and they go and buy like 16 boxes or they hit their limit, you know, and they keep doing it every week.
But they haven't yet bought any water. I know. Or, you know what I mean?
They're
very limited.
They're going to kill everybody, but then they don't have any way to sustain life.
Yeah.
So anyway, but not always. I mean, the gun prepper is a good part, but you got to include some of the other stuff.
Yes.
Then there's that doomsday prepper, the paranoid prepper, the one that like kind of likes the spotlight and kind of, well, in a way, you know, some of them don't want to be in the spotlight, but this is the ones that the media feeds on. That like, they want to push it out there. And
well, and then these are the guys that are like 24/7, like either watching Fox News or listening to Alex Jones, like 24/7.
Yeah.
You know what I mean?
That's like totally what
every threat is the end of the world.
Yeah.
And you know, that's not true. Because the world has not yet ended.
Exactly.
You know what I mean?
And that's what sucks is these are another people that are like really shown out in the media, and it kind of turns off people from being prepper or prepared.
But they are fun to talk to sometimes. They're
super fun to watch too.
Yeah, it's they like really are.
They're totally insane.
Uh-huh.
And then there's the casual prepper, which is probably the best type of prepper. Oh, yeah,
absolutely.
You know, they're just like, they're level-headed.
Mm-hmm. Attractive, usually.
Attractive. I don't know, funny.
Yeah. Huh?
You know, they have some.
Yeah.
Anyway, the casual prepper is like the modern man has a normal day job or a woman has a normal day job, and they just want to be prepared and still enjoy life.
Yeah. Yeah, just kind of a more level-headed.
That's kind of where we try to fit all of our stuff in. We may go a little extreme one way or the other, but most of the time we're the casual preppers.
We are, yeah.
So, and anyway, the last thing is terms. There's a lot of terms out there. If you go and read forums, sometimes you're like, I don't even know at all what they're talking about.
What are
about.
All these acronyms?
Because there's like a BOV, a BOB, a BOL, the EDC, MRE, EMP, cash, Faraday, grid down, off grid, SHTF, TOT, WA, you know.
Yeah, GHB. There's
so just real quick, you know, the BOV is your bug out vehicle.
Yeah, BOV.
These are all acronyms. BOB, your bug out bag. Then the, I mean, did people call it a ball?
I've heard bug out location. They don't say it. They just say BOL. Sometimes.
So yeah. So bugging out in your vehicle, bugging out with a bag, bugging out from your location. That's what you'll see a lot of the BOV, BOB, BOL. Then the EDC, that's your everyday carry equipment to help you survive, get home, get out of any, you know, some situations. MRE, that should be a common one known.
Yeah.
You know, rationing. EMP, that's your electromagnetic pulse.
You got it. Yeah.
I wanted to say electric magnetic.
Yeah.
We talk a lot about that because it's kind of a more exciting thing that could happen with a nuclear bomb and everything. And then the cash, that's a that's not cold hard cash.
Mm-hmm.
That's like storing some gear in a little box somewhere so you can access it outside of your typical safety zone.
Right.
Faraday, that's a EMP. We'll talk about that actually today with the bag. It's kind of a thing in the prepper community to protect your electronics from the EMP pulses and stuff. Grid down. Grid down can be, you know, the electrical, the lighting, the system that we live in, just going down. And then off grid's living outside of that, you know, doing everything self-sustaining. Then SHTF, self-explanatory, shit hit the fan. And then there's TWAWKI. I remember reading that first. So I was like, what in the?
Yeah.
What is this? Is this a book? But that's the end of the world as we know it acronym. So, anyway, those are some common things you'll see in forums. I hope you remember them. Goodbye.
Yeah. Write those down, kids. So, you know, once you kind of have some of that stuff down, you say, oh, I want to be this type of prepper and I want to use these acronyms and I want to talk about this stuff. Where are you going to start? Like, what?
Yeah, yeah.
How do you sort of get to the point where you start to feel comfortable and you start to learn enough that you can start really doing the prepping things you want to do? So The biggest thing for me and where I kind of started is like spark the interest in it. Like you probably already have a little bit of that interest, but kind of feed that interest in a few different ways. And there's some really cheap and free ways to do this. YouTube, obviously, it's just like
there's a ton of good stuff there.
There's so much stuff
Bushcraft
on YouTube.
And
oh gosh, yeah.
Bunker building. And
anything you want to learn about or to just see more about, YouTube's going to have it, and it's all free, right, guys?
YouTube's owned by Google, and it's a internet website.
Exactly. Another one is podcasts. Obviously, if you're listening to this, you understand what a podcast is and how powerful it can be and how easy it can be to where you
get information on the fly.
You can be, you can be mowing your lawn and you could be learning about, you know, the end of the world as you know it. Yeah. And so I think it's a really good way to keep feeding
your
knowledge and to keep sparking that interest and keeping you going, right? You know, magazines, articles, movies. Movies was a big one for me.
That's kind of what
it sparked.
Games
it.
And movies are what sparked it for me.
Yeah, games, exactly. Yeah, games,
survival
movies,
games.
TV.
Kobe and I were both really into those, and we're just like, man.
Yeah, they're fun, but they also like really get you thinking about like, well, if I was in that situation.
Yeah, it does. Like,
how
that's,
would I do
that's
it?
The one thing I really like about, you know, movies. You're like, geez, what if that did happen? Like, where am I at right now that I could even react to that?
And it's just it's an opportunity to have a discussion with friends and family. You know, I remember having discussions with my wife or even with Cam watching movies, you know.
Because we talked about like Contagion. That scares the piss out of me.
Oh, my gosh.
Like, what do you even do?
I know.
You'll bury your head in the ground.
And so you start to think about those things. You're like, oh, crap. I guess I probably need to at least have like
some masks.
A basic knowledge of what to do in that situation. And that's just a really good way.
Just get like pretty much the answer to all of us, just get more guns.
Yeah. Oh, yeah. Absolutely. Just more guns.
I need a new pistol for that.
Yeah. So it's a good way to get excited, to have fun with it. And I think having fun with it is like really important, because if you're having fun and it's something you really enjoy doing, you're going to keep going. You're going to keep progressing, right? And something that I found, and hopefully Cam's found this too, is if you have a friend or a partner that's doing it with you, it's even more fun, and it actually helps to kind of keep you on track. Like, I don't know, Cam would like text me and say, "Hey, man, look at this deal I got on this food." And I'm like, "Oh crap!
Yeah,
Cam did that? Damn it! I got to go get some now." You know what I mean? And I just feel it kind of pushes.
It is.
You
that's
both.
True. I felt that way too. I'm like, "Oh, Kobe's buying these blankets and heaters, and I need to do that."
Yeah. So I think it's a good way
going out too. Like when we've gone out and tested gear, that's like some of the funnest stuff we've done.
Absolutely,
like, it's like hilarious to realize I don't know how to do anything.
I don't know what I'm doing.
I'm an idiot.
Yeah.
Well, maybe I just feel that way.
Yeah.
Kobe films it.
I just film it.
This guy is an idiot.
So you know, why should you be a prepper? What is the point of prepping? Like, why do Cam and I?
Yeah.
Prep?
Why is it even?
Why is it even exist? A thing? Right. And there's some really specific things that I've written down here that I think we should all think about. The number one thing that I always come back to, it's the basic thing, job loss of income. Because if that does happen, and it most likely will happen to somebody you know or you
very
at some
common
point,
and
right?
Very likely.
You never know when you're going to lose a job, or when your spouse is going to lose a job, or when your paychecks are going to stop coming, or you're going to get like a cut. Maybe you work with the government shut down, right? What are you going to do? Well, prepping is absolutely going to help you in that situation, right? Another thing is, you know, disasters, natural disasters, any type of disasters. You can't predict when those are going to happen, and you have to be prepared for them, or you're going to be the dude sitting there with his house burning down, crying in the front yard, right? And you don't want to be that dude or that lady. So it's something you can't avoid. At some point, a natural disaster is probably going to affect you or a family member at some point in your life.
Naturally.
Yeah, naturally it's going to happen.
Naturally it's going to happen.
Shit just happens, dude. Car accidents, home invasions, power outages, always. I mean, you know, medical emergencies. I found that out this week, you know. You're going to have a way to ride those storms out and to figure those things out. I mean, you can probably make it through if you don't, but it's going to be so much easier if you're prepped.
Yeah.
You know what I mean?
And the biggest thing, too, is the elimination of stress during any of this.
It's exactly.
Like, I'm prepared. Like, I can think about it. You can think more clearly. You can make better decisions.
You
That's
know what?
A huge thing.
If the power goes out, I almost get excited.
I know.
Is that
I
weird?
I could test some gear.
Yeah, it's like, oh, man, I got this stuff ready. And some people might be like, oh, crap.
Yeah.
The power's gone out. What am I going to do? I don't have any flashlights. I don't have any lanterns. I don't have a way to.
Oh, Instagram refresh.
Yeah, exactly. So, you know, you're better off being a little bit excited than being like, oh crap.
Yeah, no, I agree.
My family, you know?
I've like, man, that's gonna be awesome. We got some, my kids get excited about it.
I know.
Where's our flashlights? Woo!
Yeah, exactly. Technology. This is another reason, because our society every single day becomes more and more dependent on technology.
Yeah.
Like everything.
I'm dependent on technology.
Yeah, everything runs on it. And this is awesome because it makes our lives better and easier. But it also kind of sucks because when the power goes out or if the internet goes out, your life pretty much stops.
Yeah.
Like you can't do what you need to do. And in a big situation, that becomes a huge problem. And
hey, Google, how do you breathe? Yeah. Hey, Google, how do you breathe?
Hey, Google, make me dinner. McDonald's are closed. you know, so that's, it's just a bad thing. So you just got to be kind of ready for it when it comes.
For sure.
Economies are unstable. You know, that we've seen that throughout the world. This is a big one we kind of just already talked about. We're disgusting. We cough.
We're
sneeze.
Freaking way disgusting.
We have sex with each other like we're animals. and we're all carrying disgusting like diseases and microbes and amoebas.
Humans are disgusting, just flat out.
Yeah, we're gross. We spread disease like crazy. And we're, I mean, there's it's just insane. You know, you never know when Ebola is going to come and take over Arizona. And if you live in Arizona, you're going to bleed out your butthole.
I know.
You know what I mean? So it's going to happen at some point. You know, there's going to be
key things that I've learned from Kobe. Mm-hmm. The Ebola will last, what, 200 days in semen?
Yeah,
that's
exactly.
Terrifying.
Yeah, so
that is terrifying.
You got to be worried about semen that's got Ebola in it.
Oh, that's scary.
I should have put that as a point in here. Ebola semen. You know,
should have opened the podcast with that.
The system's not going to save you, and that's something that I've, you know, increasingly have learned and seen, you know, reading and you know, talking about these situations, that the government really isn't going to save you. They're like the kind of last resort fallback, you know.
Yeah.
And so you need to be
human
ready.
Human beings still run the government. Mm-hmm. And so they're going to be for themselves if it's really, really bad.
Yeah. So you have to, you can't ever rely on somebody else to save you in these situations.
No. And that is a big thing that Americans need to learn.
Yeah. And you know what? You know, now that I think about this, it's almost kind of
what?
No, it affects you in a way when you know that you're prepped and that you can take care of your family. It's kind of a confidence booster. It's
totally.
Kind of like, you know, less anxiety. It's an ego boost. It's like, you know what? I don't give a crap.
I know.
I'm gonna be all right.
Stress about everything else.
That's
the last
one thing
I want to worry about is like if things go south. Like, you know, I'm ready for it.
Exactly.
Or mostly.
So you know. You can take any type of route. We take the casual route, and you know, we say casual. I guess we're probably a little bit more than casual since we have a podcast on it. But you know, look at all those different routes, and those are the reasons why you would want to prep. Let's talk about some things that you might want to start with if you're prepping, right?
Yeah.
One of the biggest things is a threat assessment in your life.
Perfect. Yeah.
Yeah. So where do you live? Start with your geography. What is the most common possible disaster that you might face where you live? We've talked about this a million times.
Us here, an earthquake.
Yeah. Earthquake or blizzard,
blizzard,
something like that. If you live in Florida or Georgia, you're probably going to be worried about, you know, hurricanes and things like that and crazy people. I don't know. Florida has got the weirdest people in the world.
You got to worry about everything there.
Yeah. You got alligators.
Move out of Florida.
Hurricanes, whatever else. Earthquake canes.
California's trying to move out of California and destroying our state.
Exactly. You know, do you live near a nuclear plant? Is that something you have to worry about? If you do, then that kind of goes to the top of your threat assessment list. You know, is your area a target for terrorists? Do you live near government facilities?
Nuclear power plant. I'd just be sitting there just eating iodine.
Yeah, I know.
Oh, man.
Did you guys take your iodine this morning? Just like a daily iodine.
Chewable iodine.
Yeah. You know, do you live near a military base? You're going to have different threats depending on where you live, you know, and then you can look at your everyday life. Where is the greatest possibility for issues? Do you have like really secure employment, or are you just like going like day to day at your job? Like, do I have a job today? Do I not have a job today?
No kidding.
Do I have to drive 100 miles to work every day? Cause that becomes an issue, in a lot of different ways. Do you live in Tornado Alley? Like we kind of said, you know, do you daily depend on medications? Because that
That's
obviously
a big deal.
Is an issue. Yeah. Home security. Do you live downtown Detroit? or, you know what I mean, where all the bad guys are out shooting each other on the south side of Chicago. I don't know, but that's going to be, you know, a threat. So what you can do is kind of make that threat assessment, prioritize those, you know, go from top to the bottom and just start working on them from the top to bottom.
Yeah.
Right? It's a very simple thing to do, but it's a great way to get started and figure out.
There's just so much, and if you can't focus in on something, it's overwhelming.
Oh, my gosh.
So that's what's so nice is like, where do I live? What's the most likely thing to happen?
Mm-hmm.
And, you know, how long until someone could help us? And if they can't, like, what do I do?
Yep.
No, exactly. I think that's perfect. That's a perfect place to
start. And then where do you start prepping for those things? And it's usually the essentials. And we talk about this every.
How do you stay alive?
Yeah. Every episode we talk about this. Water. You know what I mean? So like, okay, I know I need some water, but where do I start? And I always say when people ask me, you know, I say start with the FEMA recommendations. At least you have what FEMA recommends.
Yeah.
And for water, it's, you know, a gallon a person per day. So if you got four people in your family, have 4 gallons of water. I mean, how easy is that?
Yeah.
And how much better are you going to feel like, oh, I got a gallon of water for everybody.
No kidding.
If something goes down, I'm good for a day or so. You know what I mean? Or a couple days.
And if you really had to stretch it out. But yeah.
Yeah.
No, you just... put you at ease.
Yeah, and then so once you get that, then you can start moving up the ladder. Then you can say, okay, maybe I need to get a Sawyer Mini now, you know, to start.
Now I would need to get some Gatorade add in.
Gatorade.
Now some Hi-C.
Exactly.
Now some
Tang. Whatever you got to get. Tang, yep. You just got to get it. And then you can start with food, and FEMA recommends 3 days per person. That's pretty dang easy to do.
It really is.
It's like not in hard
America,
at all.
Super easy.
Yeah. So just, you know, start with the food you already eat, and then, you know, add some non-perishable stuff. 45% of Americans have 3 days or less of food on hand.
I probably have it in my fridge.
Yeah.
Of leftovers.
You
just
do.
Sitting
yeah.
there.
Yeah.
Half eaten bag of hot dogs.
45% have less than 3 days. How is that even possible?
I don't know.
You know what I mean? And then I wrote, this is another
you probably
statistic.
Don't even want to help them.
No. About 99% of Americans are dumb. So I wrote that one in there. I don't know if that's true, but I'm pretty sure that's
statistically,
right.
Statistically, it
makes a whole lot of sense after that last one. First aid, you know, get basic first aid kit. Cheap, easy, do it.
Yeah, there's a billion out there.
Yeah, sanitation, get some toilet paper, some soap, some clean water.
Right.
Man, you're on the right
track.
And I'll
talk a little bit on the, like a med kit down on the end.
Yeah, and then you go to shelter. Obviously, that's one of the biggest things. Don't live in a crap hole. Make sure your house is, you know, kept up.
Yeah.
And then, you know, what you can do is...
I'll get that furnace, or I'll, you know, I'll get that window sealed up soon.
Exactly. Stuff so, like. Anyways, that's kind of a good place to start.
Yeah, no, that's
a lot
a great,
of those things.
Yeah. How to keep yourself alive. I mean, what do I do every day to keep me alive? That's, I mean, that's...
Yeah,
really,
simple.
Think about it. Like, you know, I got to drink some water. Eat some candy. Go get a pop.
Fruit snacks. I'm good to go.
Okay. So a little more specific detail, and we've mentioned it on several podcasts, is financial security.
Yeah.
So they used to recommend 3 months of financial security. Now experts are saying 6 months is better.
That's a lot.
It's
man.
A long time. It is. But if you're not paying attention to your... you know, your expenses and where your money is and having backup, I mean, you're in trouble and you need to really focus on your financial security now. The world revolves around money, whether it be like now or when you're in, like as soon as things go south, it's still going to revolve around money for quite a while.
Yeah.
And ways to kind of prepare for that. You want to have an account separate from your savings and your retirement. Like those emergency funds that may be the one that you have, or, you know, just your prepper or your security funds. You need to make that separate little account for your family of this is easily accessible. It's probably one that you would want to not be in a bank and like cash, coin, things like that, that you can actually access and use, because plastic's probably not going to work in most situations.
Yeah.
It may, but like an American blackout, it always... this family's like driving around in a van and he's like, let me go get some cash. And he goes to an ATM and it's done, you know? And then he's like, I can't get fuel. I can't get food. He doesn't have any cash on hand. So cash will go a lot further. So having that security fund, probably like we have, or do we have an envelope with cash in our house? A good amount that we have hidden. So don't come to my house. You'll never find it. You'll die. It's laced with poisons, so if you open it.
Jeez.
But so other things is bargaining items are also valuable and can be used as kind of a currency, or those vices we've talked about, those too, coffee and
alcohol, if you get your tobacco,
your basics that are going to keep you alive, stock up on some, you know, Lay's potato chips, things that people are like, I really need this, and you can use it for trading and currency. Being debt free,
oh man,
as much as possible. Yeah, like I have student loans and in a mortgage. You know, most of us have those things. But at Christmas, if you went haywire and bought your kids 6 Power Wheels and hoverboards and things like that, you've got to be smarter, because in January, I would expect in the United States, we'll probably have something happen in the middle of winter.
Yeah.
Some horrible time. And if you're financially already trying to make up the difference by being stupid, you're stressed out. You're not going to have a way to dig yourself out of that. Mm-hmm. And sure enough, as soon as things come back online, they're going to come after
you. Oh, yeah. That didn't go away.
You're not going to get away. A lot of people think that they can get away from their debts when something happens. But no, that is always going to be on record.
Yeah.
Have like debt collectors, loan sharks, they're going to make money off from you, come and beat you to death.
Yeah, no doubt.
So really the thing to work on is, you know, avoiding debt, having accessible funds, probably cash or similar, gold bars, straight up. A lot of people, like the prepper community, there's a big thing on precious metals, and you can go there, whatever you want to do, just have something that's accessible, tangible, that you can actually use in a crisis. But being at least 3 months, the recommendation is 6 months of financial security in some way to keep you and your family safe and be able to purchase things with a broken economy or whatever.
Yep.
So anyway,
like it.
There's a financial security.
Very good. So fitness, Cameron.
Oh, yeah, we dropped that part.
Yeah, fitness.
Sorry, you're took a part out that we thought was pointless. Another big thing in being a prepper that is overlooked, and I overlook it every day,
I know,
being physically fit. Because, so I work in medicine, and I see health issues in people that I'm just like, you know, you're going to be relying on this medicine.
And you don't need to sometimes.
You can make a big difference in your life and change, and you wouldn't have to be taking this medication. So a huge thing is being healthy now, being able to, you know, run, get away from danger. If you don't hike, or have you ever hiked with a big heavy bag on your back, you ought to try that. If you want to bug out with a bug out bag and you're not physically fit, it'll destroy you.
It'll destroy you quickly.
Kobe went on a hunting trip. I think it was the worst thing he's ever done in the history of his life.
Yeah.
Like, it looked horrible. And I'm glad I didn't experience half that.
I got through it.
Yeah.
I lived.
Yeah. So, but being physically fit ahead of time is, you know, healthy mentally. You can make better decisions. You don't have to rely on medications and worry about, what am I going to do when this medication runs out? Or, you know, maybe you're going to stroke out when you run out of that medication.
Yeah.
If you're not prepared with those medications, that's a whole other thing. But just being away from those medicines, you know, being able to not rely on Western medicine is a huge thing. And physical fitness, you know, strength, preventing injuries, being able to help your family, carry your kids and whatever, help other people. If you're physically fit, you are so much further ahead in being prepared for any scenario.
We talked about this in the self-defense episode, too, if you remember, like, you know, how fast are you going to tire out if you have to, for some reason, wrestle a dude that's...
Oh, my gosh, you know, dude, it's insane.
In 15 seconds, you'd be winded and done, and now what do you do? Yeah.
Used to, like, way back, I mean, this was back when I had a normal, healthy body.
Yeah.
I was, like, in my 20s in college, I'd spar with my cousin. He did, like, Kempo or whatever, but, like, 2 minutes in, I was like, I've been doing this for, like, 25 minutes. I was like, it's only been, not even been 2 minutes.
Yeah.
It's extremely exhausting, and if you get into a fight like that, and just out of pure survival, it's going to just strip you of all your
energy. It absolutely is.
And it may just come down to, you know, who's going to overpower who out of fatigue. So,
but, you know, just being basic, have basic fitness, where you can
we're not talking about
the
Hulk Hogan or freaking huge.
You can do a mile hike with a pack on. You're probably doing okay.
Right.
You know?
But, yeah, being Yeah, exactly. Cardio is a huge one. That's probably the most important, but being, you know, flexible and having some strength so that you're preventing injuries too, that's huge. Yep. There's a lot of different things to follow there. I mean, there's even like online prepper or bug out like workout there plans is, that are kind of cool. But whatever way you do it or want to do it, just get into it now. I mean, most people have that resolution at the first of a year. I'm going to exercise. I'm going to eat better.
Come and, Valentine's Day, you're done with it.
Well,
I'm good.
I got myself ready for that Valentine's date. Now I'm done.
I'm good to go.
Yeah. But yeah, physical fitness is a massive part that, I mean, I can do better. But those people that are dependent on meds and heavy, I mean, that's where Darwin comes into place.
Exactly.
I mean, literally, they're gonna be done first. And there's nothing they can do about it. So anyway.
So, you know, the next thing a lot of people like to go to, and I think is actually a really good idea, is like 72-hour kits to keep these in your vehicle, in your home, some kits of some gear that will help you in any of these types of situations. And they can be super duper basic. And I actually pulled one directly from ready.gov that the government puts out, these quick little 72-hour kits. So let me kind of tell you what they have in these ones.
There's some amazing stuff like on those.
Oh, yeah.
Like just those sites, if you don't even know where to start, go and download one of those forms. Like those checklists, they're amazing.
Like a lot of people like to say, oh, the government's not wearing nothing. You know,
no, but they have an awesome plan.
You go to these sites and there's actually some really good resources. You know, redcross.org, ready.gov. There's a whole bunch
of print it off. You're done.
FEMA, the FEMA website. There's a whole bunch of stuff. Print it off. Follow the instructions. You're going to be further ahead than 90% of people out there. So a 72-hour kit, this is from ready.gov, water, a gallon a person per day. We already talked about this for at least 3 days, right? Pretty easy to do. It doesn't take much to do that. Food, 3-day supply, again, non-perishable, so you don't have to like every week be moving that stuff out. Don't put like fresh salmon in there, dummy. You know what I mean? You got to have something that's non-perishable. And then you go to like a battery-powered or hand-crank radios because, you know, communication is going to be a huge deal in any type of crisis. So you want to be able to get the information of what's going on outside of your area in your neighborhood, what's going to be coming, how you can go get supplies if you need to, you know, where the help is, where you shouldn't be going. A radio, NOAA weather radio with tone alert, all very good. Flashlight. Obviously, you need illumination. First aid kit. We talked about that as well. Extra batteries for all the other things, for your flashlight, for your radio, everything. This one says to put a whistle in there. You never know if you need a signal for help, and a whistle is going to help you do that. This says dust mask to help filter contaminated air and plastic sheeting and duct tape to shelter in place. You know, if you're going to go get a dust mask, just go get an N95.
Yeah,
don't,
no kidding.
Don't mess with the really cheap dollar store stuff.
It's your shirt's really, as good as those dust masks.
An N95 is pretty dang cheap, so just go ahead and go do that. And it says moist towelettes, garbage bags, plastic ties for personal sanitation. If you got a crap in a bag, you can do that. You know what I mean? Wrench or pliers to turn off utilities, and they even make some like very specific for like gas shut off and things like that. And then you can actually just put them right on your gas meter on the outside of your house and stuff. So, manual can opener for food. A lot of people realize when the power goes out, they can't open a can because all they have is an electric can opener.
Dang.
And you don't want to try and do it with a knife.
No, cut your hand right off.
Cut your hand right off. You'll never have a hand again. local maps. And this is obviously if you need to bug out or if you need to head somewhere, you need to know where to go. And Google isn't working. You can do that. And cell phone with chargers and backup battery, very important to have ready to go. So that's a really simple 72-hour kit. Yeah. Anybody can get that, man. You know, I mean, maybe not anybody, but most people can get that. That's really, really simple, and it's going to put you so much further ahead than anybody else, right?
And it mentioned the hand-cranked radio. I think that if you're going to go, I mean, they have, like, the combination where you can actually charge a device, charge your radio.
Exactly.
And it's solar-powered, you know. I think you do need to have that non-battery reliant.
I completely agree.
So anyway,
let's take a quick break, and I want to talk to you, Tamron. I want to talk to you, and I also want to talk to people listening. It's because you're right here. I can see you. I want to talk to you about Survivaguard. Survivaguard is the ultimate vitamin formula for emergency preparedness, survival, and life. You will have confidence in the knowledge that you are getting 100% of all 13 essential vitamins and 8 essential minerals, 11 super antioxidants, healthy omega-3 fish oils, and a unique proprietary NutriPrep blend for physical and mental emergency preparedness. We are confident that you will experience a better overall sense of well-being, more energy with enhanced alertness, an increased ability to concentrate with greater endurance, and you will be best prepared physically and emotionally for whatever situations you face, no matter how extreme. So use our coupon code CASUALPREPPERS. Guys, you're going to get 20% off your order when you go to SurvivaGuard.com. That is amazing. 20% off, and this will really get you ahead. If you have these, they have long shelf life cans that you can buy. Throw them on the shelf. You don't have to worry about it for 10 or 15 years.
That would be really nice.
Yeah, seriously.
20% off, too.
Because when you're eating crap food, you know, you're eating Mountain House every day.
Yeah. Yeah, you're going to lack some nutrition pretty quick. Yeah,
you're going to be nutrient deprived, and this is a great way to help stave off that type of thing. So,
love it. Good job.
Yeah.
Thanks, Survival Guard.
Yeah, thank you.
Way to think about it.
Mm-hmm.
So now, just kind of shift focus a little bit to the more exciting prepper stuff, the stuff that you hear the most about that maybe makes you more excited. Really excited.
And I think it's important to talk about those things and to look at those things because you need to keep excited.
Exactly.
Because if you're not excited, you're just going to go, I'm done.
Yeah. So once you focus and get those most important things out of the way of how to survive, you know, you need food, you need water, your body needs those things, how to, you know, in the little first aid kit, things like that. Now you can start looking at, do I want to bug in? Do I want to stay put? And if I am, what kind of tools, what kind of gear is going to make that way easier in my life, a lot easier? And there's tons of it out there, and it's really amazing and super fun to play with. So just on gear, some of the gear and bags alone. So we talk about EDC. So EDC is the like real portable stuff that you have on you anywhere you go. You have a knife, a flashlight, and they have some pretty amazing stuff to carry even more things concealed, like the cash belt.
Yeah.
You can tuck all kinds of crap in these little pockets in their belt. Wallets that have multi-tools that pop out of them and you're carrying your money. So whatever way you do it, if you're going to carry a fanny pack, doesn't matter as long as you have some pretty sweet gear in there. And that's that. You know, we get these the subscription boxes that we get. Most of them do focus a lot on the EDC part.
Yeah,
things that you can easily make use of immediately and carry with you. So some of the other things that are big with preppers are bags, your bug out bag, your get home bag, your car bag. What is it? The vehicle? I just spaced it.
Just any vehicle kit.
All these different types of
EDC
bags. So on the bug out bag itself, you know, there's a lot of different companies that make specific bags for bugging out, and they're usually organized. They have different pockets, tons of pockets. They're waterproof typically, or have a cover. They're a lot more durable than your basic bag. They have strong zippers and everything. We use 3V gear. Mm-hmm. I have a sling pack that I use, which I really like because that's not my bug out bag, but that's the bag I take to and from work, and it has all kinds of. I have flashlight in there, a knife. I have that fire starting kit, just things that if I had to travel without a vehicle that I could use.
You know, and people might say, well, why are you using 3V gear? Let me explain this. So there is absolutely bags out there that are better than 3V,
exactly.
Right. But you know what? You're going to pay a buttload of money for them. Yeah. They're really, really expensive. Like there's some really high-end bags that are fantastic. And if I had the cash, I'd be buying them.
But me too.
I don't have the cash to be spending on that type of stuff. So we've tried to find kind of a happy medium of bags that are well enough built and are cheap enough that it's affordable for most people.
Exactly.
You know what I mean? It's a step up from the Amazon stuff, that like the cheapy Amazon stuff, you know, and it's obviously a step down from the high-end stuff.
Yeah.
So that's kind of why we usually gravitate toward 3V gear, because it's kind of in that sweet spot in the middle.
Yep. And we're not sponsored or anything by 3V gear. We just have found that they're good bags, and it was kind of an example to use. There's a lot of them that do make that kind of medium affordable and a good durable bag, but one of the most important things is when you get that bag is to put it to use. You know, travel around with it, see how comfortable it is, see how sturdy it is. Like I've had three backpack straps bust right off. You know, I've maxed them out with weight, or they're just poorly sewn.
I've had the same thing happen, and it's usually with those like $20
Amazon
bags.
They don't really have a name to them. I have never had that happen with 3V gear bags. So But yeah, the bug out bag is huge, and you know, you got to kind of do your research, but you do want to get one and start just throwing some things in that you could use, that you, if you need to get away from home, that you have all the typical supplies that you need. Basically, you know, it's kind of like your camping bag.
Yeah,
it's got a way to cook food. It has food in it. You can build shelter. It's got rope or cordage. It's got
first aid.
And you have a change of clothes, some footwear. Mm-hmm. Just things that if you run into anything, you're mostly going to be prepared with that bag, and that's your bug out bag. And that's a huge part of the prepper. And there's tons and tons of sites that you can look at examples. But it's exciting, and you find new gear, and when you put that gear to use, you realize I like this, but I kind of need this more, and then you go ahead and go get a new piece of gear, and you try it, and it's just awesome to do that. There's even, you can do rucking, and that's where you just totally put it all on, and you just go to town. You're getting your fitness in, and you're testing your gear, and it's pretty sweet. But yeah, so go out there and look at some bags and get it started. I mean, you can even start with some hiking bags are perfect bug out bags. So,
exactly. Anyway. I like that. So bags are fun. The next thing a lot of people grab it. What?
I love big.
Yeah.
Big bags.
They're fun, man. Weapons. And a lot of people, like we talked about, are very focused on this part. I'm not quite as focused, but I think everybody needs to be aware of it, and they need to be thinking about what they're going to do with weapons, you know, for self-defense, for hunting or whatever it might be. For me, I've kind of come up – well, I guess I haven't come up with this, but I feel like there's probably four types of firearms that if you can do it, I think it'd be great to have. And I always go to a handgun, and I've chosen 9mm just because it's relatively inexpensive to buy ammo, and it's very popular. So the ammo is going to be widely available at any point, and it's relatively easy to handle, that type of gun. A .22 rifle, because really cheap ammo, really light ammunition, and it's – you know, for small game and things
like
that. Yeah, exactly. A shotgun, and then some
great
sort
defense.
Of like a, you know, a .223 or a .556 AR platform is nice because there's a lot of them around. You know, you can also look into bows, crossbows, compound bows, all those types of things. Knives, everybody needs to have knives, and we'll talk about that in pretty much every episode.
Oh, yeah.
You know, and then like basic protection, self-defense stuff for even women, you know, pepper spray or what are they, the zappers, you know what I mean? Can't remember what they're called.
Stun gun?
Yeah, stun gun, yeah. Those types of things are great to have for
zap
people. Yeah, I'm going to zap you. So I just wanted to just touch on that real quick, that weapons and self-defense and hunting kind of have to be something you think about.
Yeah, for sure.
Yeah.
And weapons are exciting too. The the one big thing that we went out and did a little shooting at the range, it's huge to like be comfortable with whatever firearm you get.
Yeah.
You know, people just will buy tons and tons of pistols. I know several people that have tons of guns, and I'm like, they've never even shot them, and it's kind of concerning, you know?
Yeah.
It's just like, if you're going to come out here with me and help and shoot at somebody and you don't even know how to use.
Yep.
But anyways, if you're getting those firearms, you know, put them to use, make sure they're, you know, well-maintained.
Yeah.
Put your gun oil on them.
Do it.
It's important. So another thing that we talk a lot about are skills. There's nunchuck skills. Mm-hmm. There's milking skills.
Water skills.
Yeah. Water skills is a huge one in the casual prepper community.
Sure is.
But there are tons of things to learn and to how to take care of yourself out in the wilderness. Mm-hmm. Bushcraft is a massive world in its own.
Yeah.
Medical, suturing, improvised medicine, things like that are things that we try to add into some of the podcasts.
Fire starting.
Fire starting, cooking, water. We talk about water skills. Mm-hmm. Navigation and communications, how to use weapons, self-defense, fire shelter. Mm-hmm. There are tons of skills. And obviously, by profession, some people are much better at certain things, and you can't get to that level. So that's why, you know, another thing is prepper groups, which we'll talk about here in a sec. But one tip is you can't gather all this information and all these skills. The best thing is we're big fans. I think we're also going to talk about that. It's kind of the library and resources storing. But you can easily just print off PDFs on a lot of things, you know, of how to prepare your water supply or how to suture. Just print it off and keep a binder. I have one, and it's just like these skills that I don't look at enough. I don't know right off the top of my head how to do all these things. And I just it's easy enough. You just print it, or if you have an old phone or something, you store it on there as well. So you've got both digital and you've got, you know, paper. So
and it's mostly free. You know what I mean? That's the kind
there's
of thing.
There's a ton of,
if you don't have a lot of money, skills are free. Just go learn. You know, there's resources everywhere. And Cam touched on prepper groups. So we're just going to go through this quickly, but I think a prepper group is a really good way is basically a necessary way to get through most SHTF situations. You're going to have a group of people to help you get through stuff.
Yeah.
You just really are.
Yeah, we even had an episode on lone wolfing it.
Exactly,
lone wolf would be a very rough.
Yeah, and we've had an episode on prepper groups, so you can go take a look at that too. But, you know, there's the basic types of people. There's, like, the policeman slash, you know, military guy that's great with firearms and self-defense. There's the hunter that can go out and get you some food. There's the medic. But the problem is, like we said, you can't gather every skill that's necessary for long-term survival. So it's great to have people that are close to you that can help you with those things. And so just be thinking about that as you move
forward. And somebody that says they have all these skills is probably too concerning to have in your group.
Yeah, they're lying anyway. So just don't. In like Cam said, there's libraries, there's resources, you know, PDF, PDFs are great, podcasts, you know, YouTube, it's freaking endless. You know, there's also things like your local emergency management office. They have a lot of different things. You can go there and they'll give you resources.
What they do. And like, they're excited to do it.
Exactly.
And you get awesome information
and
from them.
They do classes quite frequently.
Yeah.
You know, they do like cert training. There's a lot of different things that you can do. So just kind of look for opportunities to do those types of things.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. Kobe and I found that when we were getting this, like the different boxes to review, that we were always like, oh, gear, gear, gear. And then now we like fight over the books.
Exactly.
We're like, no, I want that book. Because we know that that can be used in the future. You can read it at any time. So it's pretty sweet. The medical supplies, I'm just going to kind of save to the medical tip. Because that's where I've kind of just customized the basics of getting started with like a medical kit for your home.
Cool.
But the last thing is for me, some of the things is just some prepper tips that we've learned along the way that you'll learn through forums, you'll learn listening to podcasts. There are some key things that you just like, I didn't ever think of that I thought were kind of cool to just mention. So like one is having your gas tank half full or more.
Yeah.
Because gas is electrical pumped, you know, and you're probably not going to be siphoning that out. And if you can't get anywhere with your bug out vehicle, that sucks.
Yep. So just half is empty.
One teep, two teep,
doesn't matter.
Other thing is inventory. Keep a nice inventory of your food supply, cycling your foods, knowing what you're lacking on or what you need, just to make it. That's one thing that I keep working on. And it's a hard thing to keep, but it's so much better because you know what you need and you know. When something happens, we've talked about before, if something happens and you need to get out to the store, it's like, well, I'm prepared. I don't need to. Go out and get as much as you can.
Yeah.
Know where you're lacking. Then you can even collect even more during that when they're cleaning the shelves off.
Mm-hmm.
Test your gear. Know how to use it because you might find that sweet hatchet you bought is a piece of trash.
We found that out several
found
times.
So many different things that are just like, well, it's garbage.
Mm-hmm.
Involve your family is huge. Getting your kids to understand, like, why do you have these bags and what you do with them if the power goes out or they're, you know, and a volcano erupts and the house is covered in smoke. They need to know this plan if you're at work.
Anything you can do to minimize chaos in an SHTF situation is going to be good for you.
Yeah, so if you train your family, you train your kids, they're the calm ones at school helping other people. And and then those skills, apply them. We found many times that the skills that we've learned when I actually tried to do them, I'm like, wow, this sucks. Even building a fire, like we've done it in so many different environments and with different material that I'm like, it's freaking hard. And
it's always hard. It's never easy.
Like you think that you could just strike a ferro rod and it's going to light up like it has gas on it. Yeah, no.
You'd be wrong.
I've ruined several ferro rods just trying to strike the crap.
Exactly.
But anyway, those are just some tips that we've learned along the way that you'll learn by, you know, reading forums and
That's pretty much what we have for becoming a prepper. I hope you guys, you know, liked what we had here. And especially if you're a beginning prepper, you know, take a look at it, figure it out, talk to everybody else. You know, we have a Facebook group on Facebook. It's great because everybody's in there helping each other out. There's really nobody in there that's douchebags that are like, oh, you can't use that type of ferro.
No, we totally don't. Nope.
And if there are people like that, they don't last long. We kick them out pretty quick. So yeah. come check out the Casual Preppers podcast Facebook group. It's pretty cool.
Yeah, yeah. So real quick before we get into reviews, I want to talk about survival boxes. So survival boxes are the only subscription box packed with all the essential survival supplies that you need to prep for surviving disasters, emergencies, or your next outdoor adventure. There are many different boxes to choose from, so you can order the survival food, water, gear required for your survival plan. Sign up today. Get survival boxes delivered to your doorstep every month. There's no contracts. You can cancel that at any time. Use our promo code CASUALPREPPERS for 10% off your first box on any subscription store order at survivalboxes.com.
And if you're a new prepper and you want to get into it, it's a great way to start. You will love dipping your toe.
Yep. You get food, you get seeds, and you get a cardboard box.
Yep, exactly. Cam, we have some reviews today. I want to start with something I've been pretty excited about, and it's Mission Darkness padded utility bag. It's a Faraday bag for your electronic gear.
Cool.
So first thing I noticed with this thing
is it's black.
It's absolutely black, but it's sexy, and that's one of the things that you almost can't find in Faraday bag stuff. It always just kind of looks like...
You just get a birdcage.
Yeah, it just looks kind of like...
What am I doing with it?
But this sucker, man, I want to show it off.
Yeah, this is
You know
is
what
awesome.
I mean? Like, it's really, really cool. So let me tell you a little bit about this. Cam's going to kind of open it up and look through. I've got some gear in there. It's specifically designed to shield delicate electronics such as digital rifle scopes, range finders, battery-powered night vision scopes, scope screens, digital cameras, and accompanying its accessories. I have some stuff in there. I have like a little ham radio in there. I think I have like some solar lights, and I don't know exactly what I have in there, but it's really cool. It's rated as 70 dB plus RF shielding Faraday enclosure that provides a lot of storage while still being compact enough to be used on the go, like as a bug out bag or for a bug out bag or in concert with a bug out bag. It's big enough that you can put stuff in there, but it's not like overly large, right?
It's like a prepper picnic bag.
Yeah, so exactly. Cool. Will you look up real quick Mission Darkness Faraday bags? I can't remember the price on this if you'll take a look. We were really excited when they sent this over. There's some cool things that this can also do. It prevents any signals from reaching the device inside. So this basically, you can't hack, track, or alter anything that's digital inside of these things. So if you wanted to put a phone in there, you know, or if you wanted to put an iPad or something like that, there's going to be no tracking. There's going to be no hacking, anything like that. It's not going to let it happen. It has multi-layer protection system consisting of durable duffel-style outer shell with molly webbing, like Cam said. It's really nice. It has molly webbing on the outside of it. It has removable high-shielding Faraday liner on the inside and is padded sidewalls, and it also has some inserts so you can kind of keep stuff separated inside the bag. It's pretty cool. Did you find it?
This is for the law enforcement military signal block. That's
this one here?
Yeah.
Okay. So what's the price on this?
This one's $190 on Amazon. I can't find their website.
You can't find their website?
But anyway, the one thing that's like, we don't know for sure.
Mossequipment.com.
It is there. Okay.
Yep.
Moss bag.
Yeah, so if you guys want to find this, you can go to MOS.
Oh, yeah. It's really organized MOS on their website. They've got a bunch of different types of bags. So it's $190, same as this on Amazon. But we don't really know for sure like what an EMP would do. We don't know, but this is by far going to be one of the better prepared ways to probably protect your electronics.
Exactly.
And then they have all these little individual pouches. Don't we already have some of these?
Yeah, we got the Molly pouch right here.
Yeah.
Yeah, the same thing.
But I think we got some of these little smaller bags when...
No.
Is it not the same?
Mm-mm.
Anyways, I've seen them.
yeah.
I swear I have one. But yeah, they're just kind of... They have some awesome stuff because you just have like little pouches that you can just add into your bug out bag. But
yeah. So how much did you see this pouch?
The Molly pouch is.
So this is the same thing. It has
85.
So it blocks Wi-Fi. It blocks wireless signals. It blocks EMPs. All that kind of stuff. And the nice thing about the pouch is you could probably just this.
How would these pass through TSA?
I think you pass through just fine.
Will they? Yeah. Will they see through it? Like X-ray will pass through?
I think I don't, it will. I'm not 100% sure about that. I don't know.
Anyways. Well, you can just open it up.
Just with what's going on today, hacking and you know, the threat of EMP, all those types of things. If you're looking for something, this is great. This is a great way to go. You can try and construct your own Faraday.
This is the best cage I've seen, because I have like the ones that it's almost like a grocery bag.
Yeah, like
it's
the like, Mylar. The Mylar
are kind
type
of annoying
stuff
to have.
Yeah,
they're so noisy and they're just inconvenient.
We suggest you go check them out if you're looking for something to really, you know, save your ham radio stuff for communications or whatever it might be.
Yeah,
this is a great way to do it, and it's a great way to look awesome, and it's pretty inconspicuous. You don't look at it and say, "Oh, that's a Faraday bag." You know what I mean?
It's just a great looking
duffel.
Yeah.
You know, so go check them out at Moss Equipment, MOSEquipment.com.
Yeah.
And you can check these
guys
out.
Their product page is like super organized. It's really easy to just spot what you need right away.
Yeah, exactly. So that's go awesome. Check them out, guys. The next thing we have is the latest battle box.
Yeah.
You know? And so there's some kind of cool stuff going on with battle box right now. Starting this month, they've stopped doing themed missions. And some people might not like that, but
I'm
actually...
The theme thing was pretty cool.
Yeah.
I think it got to a point where you got some
ran
the
its
same
course.
Gear.
It ran its course, and it kind of put them in a box where they... You know, literally in a box, but it kept them in a box where they had to, you know, wait to do this and do that, and they had to put, like, maybe some equipment that wasn't quite that cool.
Yeah.
But now it's like...
Yeah, I think it did. It kind of trapped them a little bit.
They're going to do whatever they want. They're just going to give you the best gear they possibly can for each box.
Yeah. And if you want guys with experience that have put together millions, you know, tons of boxes, you're going to get a lot of good supplies. I really feel like this is the approach they...
Yeah. So do you have the mission card for this? It's over there.
Which one do you want to do? Huh? You want me to read it?
Go ahead, yeah.
So the thing that with preppers, there's a lot of different... prepper boxes out there, you know, mm-hmm. there's survival boxes, there's battle box. Just check them out. You know, there's a lot of opinions out there. There's a lot of arguments that this is cheating. Who cares? As long as you're getting prepared.
Yeah.
Like, these both are awesome boxes.
Yep.
So anyways, we'll show you what comes in a battle box.
Yep.
So the basic box, $60, $60.75 value. One, the first thing's the Gonzo auto knife. Yeah. I got Kobe's been using this.
This might be my favorite thing.
Yeah, it is. I can't believe this is in the basic box.
So it comes in this box. I got it in my pocket right now, actually. It's relatively inexpensive, but it's an auto knife.
Oh, it's heavy.
It's beautiful.
And it really is.
It really is, man.
So it's a sweet knife. And it's included in the basic box.
Yeah, the basic box, man.
Yeah, that's I would think that would be a knife of the month.
Yeah.
Type of knife. Uh-huh. But yeah. Anyway,
cool.
The next thing is the Boss Mini Fire Kit. BOSS.
Right here. So it's a little fire kit that has like some fire starting stuff. It has a little ferro rod. It has like a pencil sharpener.
Pencil
it looks
sharpener.
Like it has some fat wood in there. It's tons of cool stuff.
So look at that. It's already sealed, ready to go. Throw it in your bug out bag.
Yep.
Done.
You're done.
That's awesome. The other thing is the Backpacker's Pantry Chicken Piccata.
Yeah, some people might think of this as kind of a throwaway item, but I will take food any day.
Me
of the
too.
Week.
That's another thing that Kobe and I fight over mm-hmm. is the food, because you can build your supply and it's all portable and it stores for
exactly.
a good amount of time. Mm-hmm. Prepper's Pocket Companion.
Again, something we always fight over is reference books and things, and this covers like everything a prepper might need, and it's like really nice pictures in it, and you know how Cam likes pictures in his books.
I do.
So
yeah, I love pictures.
Very cool.
So these are all the things included in the basic box, which is...
How much is this subscription?
$25, I think.
That's amazing.
Yeah.
So that's a $60 value. The advanced box includes all this, plus you get the goinggear.com hot and cold vacuum insulated trail thermos.
Yeah.
So there you go. Carry your liquids.
Yep.
Keep them cold or hot.
It's actually a nice thermos.
It does
not
look
like
really
a
cheapy, nice.
Like, you know, and
yeah, that's sweet.
Yep.
So very good. Yeah, there you go. And then you got the stat tourniquet, which these are really nice to use.
Tourniquet.
Quick, easy, mm-hmm. less chance of
every bug out bag
human
needs
error to mm-hmm. cut off somebody's circulation. Now, that comes in the advanced box.
Yeah.
Now, the pro box includes all that. Plus, you get the Midland T61 VP3
Dude,
mile range.
I'm excited.
32 mile range.
Yeah, I'm really excited. I mean,
walkies are so nice.
Communication is a huge thing.
My kids,
anything.
Freaking play with them until the battery's dead and it pisses me off.
Yeah.
So this one will be nice.
Yeah, absolutely.
So the next is, the last is the Pro Plus box that knife has a knife of the month in it. And it has all this other stuff. And this knife of the month is the, it's the Bastion.
Yep, Bastion. It's a tiny little
Bastion Gear.
Little pocket knife.
Tyronk knife.
It's really well built, though. If you've seen Bastion stuff, you know how sexy it is.
Oh, it has titanium scales. Mm-hmm. That's what the outside's made of. Yeah. That's why.
Mm-hmm. Very cool stuff, man.
Yeah, that's a sweet EDC knife.
Yeah, so
that's light.
Yeah, it is super light.
So yeah, there you go. That's Battle Box January. I don't know. Do they still go by missions? They still call it Mission 7.
New Year, New Gear.
New Year, New Gear. Mission 47.
There you go, guys.
So, yeah. It's time for the quick and dirty medical tip.
All right, now you guys' ears are numb. Mm-hmm. You're ready to be done. So I just wanted to make a little quick five tips on kind of getting your medical preparedness. So five tips for medical preparedness for beginner preppers.
I like that.
Number one, know your basic life support. So it sounds kind of cheesy, but really, if you run into situations, you're probably going to end up having to know how to take care of either somebody who's passed out or what. Yeah. Know your basic life support. You know, how many compressions and when to give breaths and just the regular basic assessment. It's easy to find, like, everywhere.
Yeah.
You don't necessarily need your training. It's good if you can get it, but just know your basic life support, and there's tons of websites that'll show it.
Mm-hmm.
So number two is your basic kit. This would include, you know, people get a little carried away. They'll have, like, a trauma kit, yeah. You know, and they'll have all these tourniquets, and really, you may get to use that and it'll be awesome, but just have your basic kits, which are most commonly bought on Amazon. You just buy a basic kit that has Band-Aids in it. It has gauze, gloves, alcohol, or another item to sterilize, and, you know, protection for you, the gloves or the mask and things like that. That basic kit is still more prepared than most, and you can get it anywhere. Now, as for meds, I usually use like a weekly pill organizer.
Yeah.
And you can get those at any pharmacy. And in those, I mark them. I've got like pain reliever and Tylenol or ibuprofen. Then I got antihistamines, a stomach pill, and antihistamine.
Erectile dysfunction.
I think I've said that a million times. But yeah, you could just simple as that. You may not be able to carry erectile. Yeah, Viagra number one.
Yeah.
But just have your, like, basic pills that you can just hurry and throw in a bag and you have enough for a few days.
Mm-hmm.
Like, that's the easiest way to do it as a med organizer. That also would include your own meds if you're taking some.
Yeah.
As for suturing, which is a huge thing, it's, if you just don't have the time to review videos and do it yourself, at least print out directions to follow. It's possible to do it that way. I mean, there's really not a lot of, you know, I do it pretty regularly, suturing in clinic. It isn't that complicated. The thing is, it's a matter of getting used to moving your hands in the way that you need to manipulate the needle. That's the biggest thing. But knowing how to do it and the steps of like cleaning the wound and preparing it for sutures, just print a thing out and stick it in your med kit. Like, it's a simple, it's a simple thing to do, and it'll help you a ton. And then the last thing is a personal medical checklist. You know, have listed your allergies, your meds that you're taking, and then phone numbers for emergency contacts for your family or for others to, you know, if you're injured or knocked out or killed, then they have a way of getting a hold of your loved ones, and the just a medical plan for your family. If they have this or that, you know, call 911, do this. So those are just your quick five basic things to prepare, then you can build your med kit from there.
That's awesome. Now, that's some really good basic stuff that everybody needs to look at, I think.
Well, that's it.
That's it, guys. Appreciate you guys sitting around and listening. You know what I mean? I think this is a great episode. I love doing episodes like this.
It's basics. A little more informative, you know, and I mean, this is stuff that gets people prepared and I think just does better for everybody.
Yeah, I think this is great. Like Cam said, to share with people that maybe are thinking about being preppers, say, hey, listen to this. See if this is for you, if it's something you want to do. You know what I mean? So share it. Hit the share button to your buddies.
Share the out of it.
Yeah, exactly. Exactly.
But check us out. Check us out on Instagram. Mm-hmm. Watch our hunting video. We're going to talk about hunting in 2 weeks.
Yep.
And the video kind of, you'll be able to relate a little bit more of some of the things that we're going to talk about there. That's available on YouTube.
Yeah, you can go to Wild Air Films on YouTube, or you can also go to our Facebook page and our Instagram page to find that as well.
Mm-hmm. So, yeah, like us, share us, listen to us.
All of those
love
things.
Us.
Yeah. See you guys.